Good afternoon from the KTOO Newsroom in Juneau. I'm Yvonne Crumry. Thank you for tuning in. Juneau's Municipal Election Day is almost here. Voters have until tomorrow night at 8 p.m. sharp to cast their ballots. There are a handful of ways you can vote in the by-mail election. The city has ballot drop boxes in different locations all across town. Voters can also mail their ballots back or go to a vote center. This year's ballot features three propositions, four candidates running for three open seats on the assembly, and four candidates running for three seats on the school board. And one write-in candidate for school board is not featured on the ballot. Deputy City Clerk Andy Hirsch says as of Saturday, about 4,600 ballots had been returned.
Democracy only works when people participate. And so this is your chance to really have a say in what our community looks like. And I think it's really important for every person to be part of that.
The ballot drop boxes are open until 8 p.m. on Tuesday. They're located at City Hall, the AELNP office in Lemon Creek, Douglas Library, the Mendenhall Valley Public Library, and Statter Harbor Boat Launch. Ballots sent in by mail need to be postmarked on or before Election Day, and a first-class stamp is required. Vote centers at City Hall and the Valley Library will be open from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. on Tuesday for in-person voting. Hirsch says the vote centers can get busy on Election Day, and people might experience a wait time.
We do tend to get both a lunch rush and an after-work rush, so there tends to be a bit of a line.
Ballots turned in on Election Day aren't counted in the unofficial results released that night. They'll be added to later unofficial result updates. Final results will be certified on October 21st. Though Juneau voters have been casting ballots since last month, the city's high school students also cast votes in mock elections to learn more about how they work. KTOO's Jamie Deep reports.
Yokosuke Dakahide High School teacher Electra Gardinier tallies up votes from a recent mock election in her fourth period government class. She spent the week explaining the different candidates and propositions. Now the students, most of whom are too young to vote, are casting their votes on sample ballots.
So you have a ballot in front of you, and it looks like what I have in my hand.
Gardinier tallies up the votes in the school board race after class.
For the last candidate, it looks like we would not be able to come to a consensus. Oh, no. Jeremy JJJ. So JJJ, Steve Whitney, and Jenny Thomas.
Students also approved all three ballot propositions in this year's election. Gardinier says students that attend Yokosuke do so because they have been unsuccessful in some part of their education. She says that makes it really important for her to give her students a voice in this class.
Sometimes that can mean that we have a population that already feels marginalized academically, let alone how they're feeling in other aspects of their life. And so a lot of times what I fear that that creates kind of this like apathetic mentality of like, nothing ever gets better for me. It doesn't matter how I think. Nobody cares what my views are.
Gardinier says she wants students to feel engaged and heard while also understanding what they are voting on.
When I'm teaching, I try not to put anything above a sixth grade level. And it's fascinating to me that a ballot is absolutely written at a level beyond that. So, I mean, I have kids who are not going to understand what they're voting for, and that is something that I'm trying to combat.
How did government students' votes stack up over at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kathleh? 80 students voted in that mock election. They elected Jenny Thomas, Melissa Colum, and Steve Whitney to the school board. For the Juneau Assembly, Nano Brooks eked out a narrow victory over Wade Bryson by one vote in the only contested race. As for the ballot propositions, the students approved the first two questions but narrowly voted down the proposed seasonal sales tax. At least one student at JD will actually be able to vote this year. Samuel Lagerquist filled out his ballot ahead of Election Day. He says the structure of the class helped him to learn more about the different candidates and ballot propositions. He says he also learned about how his peers are thinking.
In this class, I was kind of presented with some different perspectives that I didn't really think about, mainly concerning the first two ballot measures. It also offered a really good place to, like, kind of stay updated and motivated me to stay updated into the actual news.
Lagerquist says he feels it's important to vote in a local election, even when statewide and national elections often see larger turnouts.
The sales tax or ballot initiatives ones are going to have a more, like, day-to-day actual real effect on me. And so I think that, honestly, it's probably more important than, like, your national elections, even though, you know, those are really important.
While he doesn't plan to be in the state for college, Lagerquist says he plans on voting absentee in next year's Alaska election, when the governor and two congressional seats will be up for grabs. Amy Lloyd teaches government at Juno Douglas High School. She says the results for the mock election were a bit unexpected.
I thought it was going to be 70-30 and it was more like 50-50, which shows me that they understand the value of their vote. And even if they didn't say anything in the conversation, they voted how they wanted to vote. So that was pretty cool.
She says it's a big responsibility to teach students about the government.
We are living in America. We've got to understand the government. It's really exciting to teach a class that is so obviously in their best interest to know and learn and pay attention to.
Real ballots in Juno's by-mail election must be returned by 8 p.m. Tuesday. Initial results are expected that night. In Juno, I'm Jamie Deep.
Find the latest election updates, along with the candidate profiles and ballot measure explainers, at ktoo.org/election. And the Petersburg Borough Assembly passed a resolution last month calling on state and federal authorities for help dealing with rising sea otter populations. Petersburg now joins other Southeast communities in asking for stronger otter management. KFSK's Taylor Eckert has more.
The Petersburg resolution urges authorities and stakeholders to collaborate in creating a sea otter management plan. It also asks the federal government to loosen regulations for how Alaska Native subsistence hunters can use harvested sea otters. Multiple assembly members voiced their support, including Rob Schwartz.
I crabbed commercially for 35 years, and one of the reasons I got out is because of the, we've seen this over the decades, the exponential increase in the population of the sea otters.
Sea otter populations have been booming ever since they were reintroduced to Southeast Alaska in the 60s. Though sea otters consume a lot of shellfish, putting them at odds with fishermen. Proponents for sea otter management say they're causing trouble for the local economy and ecology because they're depleting the shellfish resource and taking harvest from fisheries. While this resolution doesn't change state or federal law, it asks for disaster assistance for crab and dive fisheries in Southeast. Rangel and Haynes have also passed similar resolutions. Both Mayor Mark Jensen and Vice Mayor Donna Marsh offered to recuse themselves for potential conflicts of interest. Jensen currently holds a commercial Dungeness crab permit, and Marsh's husband is a commercial crabber. But the assembly allowed both Jensen and Marsh to vote on the resolution. Marsh proposed to broaden who could legally take sea otters. Currently, sea otters are federally protected and can only be hunted by people who are one-quarter Alaska Native or an enrolled member of a coastal tribe.
I would like to amend this motion, or this resolution, to include that sea otters may be taken by any Alaskan resident, meaning it doesn't have to be specific to Alaskan Native residents.
The resolution with the added amendment passed 4-1, with Assemblymember Jay Stanton Greger opposed. He said he could not support the new amendment.
I'm definitely in favor of this resolution. I think action is needed on a variety of levels involving the sea otter population. But as far as I can tell, this resolution, if we include that amendment, would be in violation of federal law for the Marine Mammal Protection Act.
The amended version of the resolution says the assembly would support regulations that would allow sea otters to be taken by any Alaska resident with a valid hunting license. This resolution is not legally binding. Instead, it's a request for federal and state authorities to take action. For KFSK, I'm Taylor Heckert.
And today, President Trump approved the 211-mile Ambler Road in northwest Alaska. The Ambler Road is intended to spark a new mining industry. The decision reverses one made by the Biden administration, which was itself a reversal. Trump says the Ambler project will make Alaska bigger and better with more jobs.
It's an economic gold mine, so to speak, and I signed this years ago, and Biden unsigned it for me.
The road would begin on the Dalton Highway south of Coldfoot. About 26 miles of it would be in the Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. The road would terminate east of the village of Ambler. Interior Secretary Doug Burgum says the project is important for the nation.
Here we got copper, lead, zinc, gold, silver, gallium, germanium. So rich in all of the minerals that we need to win the AI arms race against China and to prosper as a country.
Road opponents say that they're gearing up for a legal fight. The road is controversial in the Kobuk Valley and in villages along the proposed corridor. Some want the jobs. Others, particularly villagers who live a subsistence lifestyle, are worried. Rick DeWild thinks about what it would mean to link the region to the Dalton Highway.
I don't want the Ambler Road because it's going to bring in too many outsiders during hunting season. And also, It's going to open up the land to development and destroy a lot of the habitat as far as fish spawning streams and caribou migrations and everything else that it brings with it negatively.
The Trump administration also announced today that the government will invest more than $35 million for a 10% stake in Trilogy Metals to further exploration in the Ambler Mining District. And as for the weather here in Juneau, it's currently 52 degrees and cloudy this afternoon. We're expecting more rain overnight, and tomorrow that might taper off a little bit with a high of 50 degrees. Wednesday and Thursday look like they could be dry, with highs in the low 50s. And the sun is supposed to set at 6:15 tonight and rise again at about 7:15 tomorrow morning. So we're getting 11 hours of daylight a day. We're still losing about 5 minutes of daylight a day, and that'll be true for the rest of the month. Then November 1st, daylight savings ends, and we'll set our clocks back an hour. You're listening to KTOO.